The question was asked, how should one learn Tanakh, otherwise known as the Bible? You guys know the old joke. A guy asks his friend, what's the Tanakh? So he says, it's a concordance of verses that are quoted in the Talmud. So we live in a generation where that's what it sounds like. People don't study Tanakh, and they don't know what it says other than what shows up in the Talmud. And that's obviously not the way God had it in mind. You know, God gave us the Tanakh with a purpose. So we know the Torah, we have a rabbinic mitzvah to study every week. We have a rabbinic mitzvah to read the Sedra of the week twice with an interpretation. Shnai Mikra Ve'echa Targum. Now what about Nevi'im and Kesubim? So technically that's Limud Torah. Our sages said a person should divide his day into thirds. A third's in Tanakh, a third in Mishnah, a third in Talmud, right? Thirds, thirds, thirds. So we rely on Tosus' opinion that says that the Babylonian Talmud is filled with everything. It explains the Tanakh and it teaches the Mishnah and teaches the Gemara and Halacha. But Tosus probably did not mean that we should forgo knowing the basics of Tanakh. Tosus meant that you don't necessarily have to spend a third of your day throughout your life doing this, but rather after you've gotten a base knowledge, you've studied Tanakh from age 5 to 10, then you don't have to spend a third of your day. Even if you won't say that way, we have to remember that the Mishnah does tell us, Ben Chamesh Lemikra, Ben Eser Lemishnah, Ben Chamesh Esre LeTalmud. The Mishnah tells us there's an order. At 5 years old, you start teaching a kid Tanakh. At 10 years old, he moves forward to Mishnah. After he studied Tanakh for 5 years, then Mishnah for 5 years, then he begins Talmud, now that he has Tanakh and Mishnah under his belt. And the commentaries explain that when one learns with this order, one can be successful in one's learning. When one tries to skip stages and jump forward to learning Talmud and he doesn't know what it says in the Torah, he doesn't have a grasp of the Mishnah, then the study of Talmud will be that much harder for him. So technically here at Machon Meir, we should have Tanakh 101. You guys walk in, after you discover that God exists, you got to discover what his Torah has to say. Right, that's theoretically what should be here at Machon Meir. But practically, you guys, how long does the average person stay at Machon Meir? 8 months? 9 months? And if you factor all those people who walk in for 1 week, I'm not sure where the average lies. So we don't do that. And the reason behind it really is reflective of why most of Israel doesn't spend that much time on Tanakh. Intellectually, learning Talmud is far more stimulating. And a person who does Daf Yomi is far more likely to study Torah every day of his life than someone who learned Tanakh or run through it and will say, okay, I got that. I know the storyline here. I got a picture of that. Been there, done that. So we live in a generation where we've basically compromised on learning Tanakh for the sake of ensuring that people are still learning. But undoubtedly, this is a compromise. It is still in everyone's best interest to master Tanakh and master Mishnah. So we don't suggest that you stop learning Talmud because we realize that most people who would focus on Tanakh for a good period of their time will not continue learning. Our generation doesn't hack it. When you're 5 years old and you go to the cheder and the Rebbe's holding a big stick, or even if he's not holding a big stick, but when your intellectual level is such that Tanakh is exactly what you enjoy, singing the songs of Tanakh, then it makes sense to spend your day learning Tanakh. My son goes to cheder where it just so happens that's the way they learn. So, from 5 to 10 they learn Tanakh. I didn't choose the cheder for that. Meaning if they would have had the regular standard cheder policy, I would have gone with that too. It happens to be that that's the way they do it. The standard cheder is that in the beginning they learn Chumash, and before they've mastered Chumash, they move on to learning Mishnah. And before they've mastered Mishnah, they move on to learning Talmud. And I'm not sure that that's such a bad idea. Meaning, I didn't choose this cheder for this policy because I'm not so convinced that it has so many merits. You know, at the end of the day, I haven't seen this policy produce such Torah giants. I don't have an opinion on the matter, but this method has been around for a while, and the proof is in the pudding. We don't see that their students are more successful than other people's students, and if, then maybe the contrary. So it's true that the students are getting a strong footing in Tanakh and Mishnah, where others aren't. The question is, where are those students 20 years down the road? Have they learned Talmud? Do they know Halacha? Do they stay in learning? And I'm not convinced that the statistics are in their favor. So I didn't choose it for that. There were other reasons I chose it, and then it was an interesting surprise that they also go with this policy. But it's interesting to see how a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old and a 7-year-old, these kids, in their free time, they're happy to sit down and just sing through the Tanakh. It's a song to them, you know. It reaches a point where my daughter, who can't even read yet, is quoting Pesukim back to her brother when they're arguing, like jokingly. You know, but you say, wow, it's just the song that they're singing. You know, you know, the question is, where is it long term? Don't get taken by the wow, you know, 5 or 6-year-old kid knows a lot of Pesukim by heart. Okay, so what? You could teach him other songs by heart, and I see the value in it. But you have to remember that all of Israel is not doing this, and I'm not so convinced it's the way to go. I mean, I don't necessarily recommend you guys choose this type of cheder. In every circumstance, you have to choose the option that best fits your family. And for us, it was this cheder, and I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, I'm not sure that it's that valuable. But a child from 5 to 10, psychologically, is at a state where he enjoys just reading and singing Tanakh and seeing the story in Tanakh. At 10, he starts developing the capacity to understand all kinds of forms of logic of the Mishnah, and that fits him perfectly, and he's reading Mishnah, and he learns that by heart, and that's also great for him. At 15, he already wants to delve inside, and from 15 onward, you just want to sharpen it and get a better picture, and that's why everyone has all these questions of pilpul and trying to figure out exactly what it says in Talmud. You take a 15-year-old and you tell him, now spend your day reviewing Tanakh. It's going to be very tenuous for him. It might be the right thing to do. It might bear a lot of fruits. The question is, will he hack it? Will he last through the period? You know, a 5-year-old through 10-year-old, he's doing what he's told. He's in school. 10 to 15, it's already more intellectually stimulating. And so today, I'm not sure that I would recommend for anyone to take off now for a year or two and study Tanakh and ignore Talmud. And yet, it is vitally important that we do study Tanakh. So, on the one hand, we probably would not reap benefits that would make it worthwhile if we would stop our lives and just focus on Tanakh now and then focus on Mishnah. But still, that doesn't mean we go to the opposite extreme and leave Tanakh as a book of a concordance of verses quoted in the Talmud. So what is the balance? Every person has to see his own schedule, but a person should have a set seder, a set time where he learns Tanakh. And for everyone here where Hebrew is a second language and it's difficult, so I would recommend, for starters, read the Tanakh with art scroll. Try to run through the Tanakh once with art scroll. Make yourself 10 minutes an evening, 15 minutes an evening, where you take time and you read Tanakh with art scroll. And just to point aside, some Sfaradim might walk over to you and say, you know, in the Kabbalah Sfarim it says you don't learn Tanakh at night. So there are a lot of things it says in the Kabbalah Sfarim. Tell them that in the Magen Avraham it quotes in the Kabbalah Sfarim you shouldn't have a table in your house without a tablecloth. Do they do that? I haven't seen anyone do that. That's also in the Kabbalah, you know. Every table resembles the Mizbech and should have a tablecloth. So there are a lot of things in Kabbalah. We don't do everything it says in Kabbalah. So I don't think that a person should form his schedule of learning based on that. For most people in yeshiva, the daytime is a time when you could focus on Talmud, and that's a good idea. If you have time during the day or during the night, see what works best for your schedule, and take 10 or 15 minutes in the beginning just to familiarize yourself with the basic stories and the basic messages of Tanakh. You went through all of Tanakh once, let's say 15 minutes a night, you could do at least a chapter a night. Hopefully you could do two chapters a night, you finish off Tanakh in a year. Then it depends on where your Hebrew is holding. If your Hebrew is on a good enough level, or you could get an Israeli chavrusa, then I would recommend starting a second Seder, going through the Tanakh. This time leave the art scroll on the side for reference, and learn the Tanakh with the Metsudos. There's a commentary, Metsudos David, Metsudos Tzion, it's the same author. which is very basic. He summarizes the other commentaries. He gives you pshat. He has them to this David, which is pshat in the storyline. He has them to the Tzion, which takes word by word and explains it. If you're stuck on a word, I would work with that instead of Rashi for the difficult prophets. For the first prophets, which are basically a storyline, I would work with Rashi simply because he's shorter, and I want you to cover ground in an easy pace. Now, if you could do 2 chapters a day, good for you. For most people, 2 chapters a day is strenuous. So what I recommend doing is rule number one. Every time you learn Tanakh, start from the book of Judges. Don't start from the book of Yoshua. I give this tip to many people. Those who listen to me, I found a huge percentage continue learning Tanakh. Those who start from the book of Yoshua, a huge percentage do not continue learning, because the book of Yoshua is not so interesting to us. You're reading this border and that border and this war and that war and this border and that border, and to us it's like, okay, you know, it's Tanakh, so I guess I should study it. You start with the book of Shoftim, you have all the stories, you finish all of Tanakh, and then, you know, you only have the book of Yoshua left, so then you say, okay, now I'll do the book of Yoshua. So my recommendation, it's my own invention, but I've been doing this for over a decade now. I did this with college students in New York. I've seen this already for over a decade. Those who start from Shoftim, the overwhelming majority continue. It's easy. It's interesting. It's easy. So people continue. And then, after you finish everything else, come back to Yoshua. Now, if you find that 2 chapters a night is difficult for you, I would recommend do 1 chapter of Nevi'im and 1 chapter of Ksuvim. For most people, it's relatively easy during the books of Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim to do 2 chapters a night. And that's why I would recommend in those books to do 2 chapters a night. When you hit the book of Yeshaya, Isaiah, where the chapters are long and difficult and the Hebrew is difficult, there I would recommend take 1 chapter of Yeshaya and 1 chapter of Tehillim, provided that the chapters are short. Tehillim is relatively easy. The chapters are short, most of the chapters. When you hit a long chapter, give yourself a break. You know, if you hit a long chapter in Yeshaya or a long chapter in Tehillim, so give yourself a break. But the key here is consistency, having a set time. And I like having a set chavrusa. If you have a set chavrusa, then you end up doing it. If you rely on yourself, then you might end up doing it. A chavrusa is a good way of ensuring you do it. So that's what I would recommend should be the first 2 reviews of Tanakh. Now, for the third time, there I would recommend doing the third time again with the Metsudos. And after you finish the third time, it depends on the person, it depends on the amount of time you have. I think that it is important to cover Tanakh quickly, even though you'll have many questions. The way I recommend doing it is having a Seder on Shabbos, where you don't advance. The Shabbos learning, you take sugiyot, you take stories that bother you, and over the Shabbos, you look at the commentaries there. So when you hit the story of David and Bathsheba, so on Shabbos, you always leave yourself Shabbos. You say, okay, Shabbos, I'll look into that. You hit the story of, let's say, the judges and Samson, and you're curious, hey, what's really going on there with Shimshon? Let me see what happened. Or Pilegesh Begiva. You have the story of the concubine. It seems like people in the tribe violated a woman. What's going on there? So you leave yourself Shabbos. You always write down which points you want to go into. And on Shabbos, instead of advancing 2 chapters, you delve inside. Now, ideally, the best way to learn, like every Seder, is to divide your Seder into 2/3 and 1/3, or 3/4 and 1/4. And that is that you take your time and you say, let's say, either 2/3 or 3/4 of the time, depending on how much time you need, you advance, and then the last quarter or the last third, you review what you did. And usually you can review what you did in about 5 minutes. What you learn in 45 minutes, you could usually review in 5 minutes. You don't really need that ratio of 2/3 and 1/3 or 3/4 and 1/4. You guys can see that for yourself. You'll see very quickly. This is the way to go, I think. Of course, it would be ideal to have more reviews, but if you stick to a pace like this, then you'll quickly be reviewing Tanakh a second time. And usually when people try to review too much, they don't end up learning. Part of the stimuli for learning is that you feel that you're covering ground. And being that Tanakh is easier to remember, it's a storyline, And when you come to the prophets like Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, it's difficult to remember even with the review. So I have to draw some kind of compromise that'll work, and I think this is a compromise that works. You learn, let's say, for 40 minutes, and you take the last 5 minutes to review. But it is imperative that you set yourself a goal, that you're covering 2 chapters every day, or 1 chapter every day. I prefer 2, simply because this way you cover the Tanakh in a year. And Tanakh, I'm leaving out Chumash, because I figure Chumash, you're doing it a separate time. I recommend you try to pause before the holidays and do the Megillahs that are relevant for that holiday. We always have more fun reading what's relevant to the times. So before Purim, gauge yourself. See when you're about to finish a book. Finish one book. Do not go on to the next book. Stop, do the Megillah, and then go on to the next book. Sometimes for some people, it's better to stop in the middle of a book and go on to Megillah. Because if they stop in between books, then they never get back to the next book. So you have to gauge yourself on that. That's the way I would go the first 2 years. After that, it depends on how much time a person has. Some people need a break in their day, and learning Tanakh is an excellent break. When I was at your stage, David, second, third year Beis Medrash, so I would need a break. Like in the late afternoon, I take out 35 minutes to learn Tanakh. Now, that was like my break in the later half of the day. And then you have to gauge how much you feel you need the next review. You have to see. If you don't need the review, you feel like you have a grasp on it, then it's a good idea to try and cover 1 perek a night with the Radak, assuming you did Rashi once. You didn't do Rashi, so then Rashi has to come before the Radak. The order I would learn is the first year translation of Art Scroll, second year Mitsuda, if you're ready for it. If not, then second year Art Scroll 2, and then the third year Mitsuda. The year after that, I would do Rashi. And you see, if you can handle Rashi on Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, you'll probably need the Mitsuda another year. And only after that Rashi, after that Radak. And then you have to decide whether you have the time to do Malbim. But I'll leave Malbim and Abarbanel for later, to be peaked at on Shabbos when you have issues that bother you, so you should know who's going to deal with the issues. The prime people who deal with them are the Malbim and Abarbanel. After you learn the Malbim and Abarbanel, you might recognize how the Radak really answered the questions in 2 words, whereas the Malbim and Abarbanel spelled it out. But the ones to use when you have questions are the Malbim and the Abarbanel. That would be the order I would go with, more or less. Now, if you're going in depth and you're doing only 1 chapter a night, I think it's still important to try and review. So then I would review with the Art Scroll, like a quick review, which you could do in about 10 minutes, 2 chapters a night, if you've already done it 2 or 3 times. How long does it take to do with Art Scroll? You read the Hebrew, what you don't understand, you peek in Art Scroll. But that way you ensure that you keep reviewing. Now, there's one thing that's very helpful, and that is recordings of the Tanakh with the Ta'amim, with the tune. I put up recordings online. I haven't yet done all of Tanakh, but when God grants me more time, Bezrat Hashem, it's one of the things I want to do, to make available for free all of the Tanakh. If you could get recordings of readings, if you know the trap, good, and if not, then the simple reading is good. I could tell you that I used to travel from home to yeshiva about 45 minutes each way, and I used to review the book of Yeshaya, Isaiah, which is over 60 chapters, 2 to 3 times a week. I used to review all of the book of Bereishis 2 or 3 times a week, all of the book of Shmos 2 or 3 times a week. When we would read Bereishis, so I just listened to my own recordings of reading of Bereishis during the week. So throughout the book of Bereishis, I ended up reviewing the book of Bereishis maybe 70 to 100 times. Just as I brush my teeth at night, in the morning I'd get up, wash my hands, make Birchas HaTorah, and while I was doing everything else, so long as my hands were clean, I'd be listening to Leining. So I could cover the whole book of Bereishis at least once a day. You know, between walking to the yeshiva, walking back, I had a 10-minute walk each way. There are ways of taking advantage of time, and listening to it is very worthwhile, especially when you've learned it. So if you have the trap, good, and if not, you could just record yourself reading. That's something which I did, and it served me in good stead. There are books which I reviewed over 100 times, and there are books which I reviewed over 500 times. And it's not impossible. if you're reviewing it at the pace that you could read it, and you record it, and you listen to it. That's how my daughter, by the way, knows the psukim from Bereishis. When I saw my son needed help remembering it, so I would record myself laning it. And then when they'd wake up in the morning, I'd put it on. I put up loudspeakers in the house, and I put it on. And as they're getting dressed and stuff, it's playing in the background. That's the background music for the first 20 minutes of the morning. So she started learning it. Now I got lax, and I stopped doing it. I got lax on myself. But I should. It's a good review for me, too. And the kids loved it. They'd sit there during breakfast and pipe in when they remembered the next pasuk. It's like a game for them. And that's what's called girsa diankusa, that as the child's nursing, he learns things by heart. He doesn't even realize what he's learning by heart. So that's something which is very beneficial, I think, while you're learning Tanakh, to help you retain what you've learned, to help you review and at least get the words in. And with time, you'll also get the pshat in better. Now, I think it is imperative that you learn with a commentary. Previous times when we discussed this point, I began with this point. This time I'm ending with this point, but really it is maybe the most critical point of everything we discussed. People have ended up with the greatest errors in Jewish history from learning Tanakh without tradition, without a commentary. And if someone's going to learn Tanakh and interpret it as he sees fit, then in my opinion, he's probably better off not learning Tanakh, because he's risking at least 50-50 whether he'll end up getting it right or getting it wrong. And the risk of getting it wrong could lead a person way off. You know, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Chelek, says, who doesn't have a portion in the world to come? Someone who doesn't believe there's Tchias HaMeisim from the Torah. He could believe there's Tchias HaMeisim, but if he doesn't realize that it's a concept within Torah, he doesn't have a portion in the world to come. Now that's a phenomenal concept, because the Talmud itself questions, okay, so where does it say it in the Torah? And then the Talmud tries this angle, and that angle, and the other angle. But you see how important it is that we know the concepts that are within the Torah as we read it. And a person could read the Torah and walk away and say, I don't think the Torah says the dead are coming back. I'm willing to believe they will, but I don't think it says it in the Torah. And a person like that, the Mishnah says, does not have a portion in the world to come. So it's pretty dangerous. The most wild movements in Jewish history, the Karaites, the Kutim, the Shomronim, the Tzedukim, the Reform, the most wild movements in our history all began by taking a Tanakh and saying, this is what I think. That was one of the big points that led people astray. And that's why I think it is imperative that when you learn with a commentary. The reason I'm comfortable with Art Scroll is because they have Talmidei Chachamim who wrote their translation based upon different commentaries. I didn't say other translations simply because I'm unaware of how those translations were written. But Art Scroll, to the best of my knowledge, was written in that way. So when you'll open the Song of Songs, you'll see a very interesting interpretation for the Shir HaShirim. I'm not saying you should be bound to their interpretation. You know, there are different commentaries, and they could only include one in a translation. With time, you'll see the other commentaries, but at least you'll have one path in Tanakh that's a traditional path, and I think that's very important. Did we cover what you wanted us to? Okay. I'm with